So today is the topical class, and it's a continuation from the previous class given by Maharaj on the topic of the process of obtaining the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So Maharaj spoke about the from the verse from the Gita chapter 13, verse 18 to 12. He mentioned all the qualities of knowledge. And before that, Arjuna actually asked Krishna a couple of questions in the first verse of chapter 13. Arjuna asks, "Oh my dear Krishna, I wish to know about Prakriti, nature, Purusha, the enjoyer, and the field, and the knower of the field, and of the knowledge, and the object of knowledge." So, by reading this, I wanted to point out that he's not just asking about any type of knowledge or any mundane knowledge. He's asking about the knowledge about the Absolute Truth. And the second point is, it's not just about knowing about the Absolute Truth. It's also about realizing it. So, in reply, Krishna speaks these verses 8 to 12, and he mentions all the qualities that Maharaj mentioned last time. I'll read it once. Humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization, and philosophical search for the Absolute Truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance." So in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada mentions how that the most important out of all these qualities is devotional service. And last time Maharaj used the example of how the zeros is valueless without the one in front of it. So similarly here, Prabhupada explains that devotional service is the one in front of all the rest, humility, pridelessness. If you have all the rest, but if you don't have devotional service, then it's not complete. And in the same verse also, Prabhupada quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, and he says, "Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarveir gunais tatra samasate sura." All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. So he's saying, just by performing devotional service, all these qualities will automatically come out of a person. So here we can see then that the knowledge of the Absolute Truth terminates at devotional service. That means the essence of knowledge of the Absolute Truth is devotional service. And the process to attain it is also devotional service. So the goal and the process is both same. And if you take an example of mundane knowledge also, it's pretty much similar. Like if someone wants to become a doctor, engineer, or a carpenter, he has to, they usually, what they say in the classes, in the academic classes, they have one class called practical class. So in that the students are put to work with the actual doctor qualities. They're put to practice in that class. So similarly here, the goal is devotional service, and so what we have to practice is also devotional service. It's the practical process for attaining that goal. And also, what happens in the mundane knowledge. They also study under a person who is a doctor himself already, who has already studied that. So similarly here, we approach a person who is already self-realized in devotional service. That means a spiritual master. And we serve him and study under him to understand what is devotional service. And that's why, similarly, that Prabhupada mentions the principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. So then we see then the prayer that I recited before starting the class, Om Ajnana Timirandasya. It's the translation is also similar. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes and with the torch of knowledge. So again, we're praying to the spiritual master to open the, to take remove us from this ignorance and show us what is the absolute truth. So then, the only difference between the goal and the process is that the process is devotional service, practicing devotional service, whereas the goal is pure devotional service. And pure devotional service, what would it mean? It would include all the include devotional service and all the other 19 qualities or components composing that Krishna mentioned. So everything together would be devotional service. When we have humility, tolerance, and pridelessness, all these qualities, detachment, when they're manifested fully, then that would be pure devotional, with devotional service. So then one may ask, if the process is devotional service, then what is the necessity for the Lord to mention all the other qualities of humility and so on? So then in my understanding, I was thinking it's like a vision for us. To these qualities are like a vision to show us what we have to awaken, what we have to get, what's the goal, like humility, all these qualities. And also at the same time, it shows us when, like Krishna sometimes might test us in some situations, and this will guide us in what way to act using all these principles of humility. And thus all these qualities are also essential to have the complete understanding of the absolute truth. As the absolute truth is that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. And so when we look at from that perspective, from the top, from above perspective, then we can see that in order to understand that we are the eternal servant of Krishna, we need to have humility. We have to understand that we are subordinate to Krishna. If we don't have these understanding, then we cannot realize that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. That's why in the beginning I was mentioning how that there's a difference between knowing and realizing. Realizing means we have to be able to practice this and really experience this thing. And then from that we really realize that the absolute truth is devotional service. Whereas in the scriptures everywhere it's mentioned that we have to perform devotional service, but just by knowing that, we're not impelled to do it. But when we actually perform it, then the experience automatically makes us realize that this is the truth. There is nothing more than this. And similarly, it's with other qualities like committing non-violence. We shouldn't distress others, because they're also part and parcels of Krishna. Tolerance, each quality can be understood that it's necessity, it's very necessary for understanding that we're the eternal servant of Krishna. And also, it was because of the absence of these qualities in the first place that we actually came here, we started becoming proud, and we thought that we were selfish, and we got attracted to sense, doing sense gratification, and all these qualities became like the opposite of what Krishna is mentioning. So in order to do it, in order to get that back, it's not easy just to start from humility or start from becoming tolerant, because we're for so many lifetimes living in against these principles. So the process is, that's why when someone joins the movement, we usually engage someone in devotional service first, because that will naturally bring out these qualities, rather than telling them, oh, you have to be humble, you cannot be proud, you have to be tolerant, all these things, then that will kind of impel the person, it will hit his pride, kind of. So then better the way is to just engage him in devotional service. And in that process, all these qualities will awaken. And as also we know that it's the soul's nature itself to be the eternal servant of Krishna. So just by performing devotional service, it reawakens that nature of the soul. And Rupa Goswami, actually in the Nectar of Devotion, he's explaining the process of devotional service, how it's starting from sadhana bhakti. First is devotional service in practice, then devotional service in ecstasy, and then in the last stage it comes to devotional service, pure devotional service. And he gives the pure definition of pure devotional service. Anyabilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti ruttama. When first class devotional service develops, one must be devoid of all material desires, knowledge obtained by monistic philosophy and fruitive action. The devotee must constantly serve Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. So that's the definition of pure devotional service. And you can see that already devoid of material desires and knowledge of monistic philosophy, all these are part of the principles that Krishna is mentioning. And when all those principles is followed with serving Krishna as he desires, that's pure devotional service. And the perfect example I was, Prabhupada mentions in the verse from Bhagavatam, in the purport he mentions is Haridas Thakur. He was, you can see how just by chanting the holy name, he was all these qualities manifested in him, tolerance, humility, like humility, if you take the example, when he was whipped by the soldiers of Kazi around the market 22 marketplaces. And what was his reaction is when he didn't say, oh, curse these soldiers who are whipping me. He prayed to the Lord, please forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And that's showing what real humility is. And therefore, actually, the song that I sang today, that was Bhaja Hure Mana. Paper. It's actually kind of summarizes the whole class today, because it composes all these qualities. The song is by Govinda Das Kaviraj, and he's talking about each of these qualities. I'll read the first translation. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Maybe if someone else would like to read them.
Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. This is desiring great longing will forbid us to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Rukmini and chanting his glories, constantly remembering him and offering prayers for him, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend, and completely offering the Lord one's very self.
So we can see how there is one quality called detachment, and he says, for a bit of flickering happiness I have vainly served wicked and miserly men. So he's saying how that principle of sense gratification. And then also the next quality, he says, what assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons and family members? Also there was a quality of being not too attached to family members. And then the principle of devotional service is perfectly explained here. The nine processes, we can engage always 24 hours in a day in different activities like this by singing, hearing, remembering, chanting, all these qualities. And therefore, to conclude, I'll read one quote from Prabhupada. All living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore when they revive their original Krishna consciousness, they possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages himself in the nine processes of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam, one's heart becomes purified, and he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. He then revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. So, any comments, corrections, questions? Like I was saying, it is essential to have these qualities in order to understand that we are the servant of Krishna. But in the beginning, in the process, we are not familiar with these qualities, and therefore we engage in devotional service. And that time we don't know what is humility or what is tolerance or so on. But as the process goes along, then naturally we understand what's humility, what's pridelessness, and then those things manifest in ourselves, and that's what constitutes pure devotional service. So actually the goal is pure devotional service, and that's what we're going for, and that's essential. That's why it means that all these qualities are essential. It's not that they're not essential, but just in the beginning we say devotional service in practice. Any other questions? Jai Jai Shri Radha Gopinath King.
Isn't this just like the example is given that it's like a tree, and you know, you perform devotional service and the fruits manifest, and the more fruits manifest on the tree, the branches are going down in the
temple. Smash.
In Harinam Chaitanya, Shri Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about two types of qualities of devotional service. One is named Svarupa Lakshana, which means constitutional characteristic, and the other is named Tatashta Lakshana, which means marginal characteristics. So the quality of bhakti, that will be the constitutional characteristic, and all the others will become manifest as a result of the Tatashta Lakshana, all the other characteristics, and they will become naturally manifested from the constitutional characteristic. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda writes that when considering who is a sadhu, we should look if the person has the constitutional characteristic, and even if the person does not have the marginal characteristics, still we should consider that person is sadhu because he's serving the Lord, and in due course of time will become purified, and all the other qualities will become manifest.
I still have a question in that respect. Sometimes you see like a person is very qualified, comes in, starts doing devotional service on a big level, and then something goes wrong, he falls down and creates big havoc. And for other devotees, they're shocked. How do we deal with that?
I guess as I recall, it's just about one falls down, but again, the process is again just stand up and again perform devotional service, and it's because of the attachment they're strong there, and if when we lose association or something, then we fall for these small sense gratificatory activities. But again, when we just come back to the association of devotees and just get up and again start devotional service, then again we can we continue from where we left off.
Because sometimes it's very difficult for the other devotees because they are kind of forced to surrender to a powerful person when they come up. And then when he falls away, they're completely finished. So how to deal with that? How to foresee that? Because we have gone sometimes through such experiences.
Maybe Maharaj, you would like to answer?
I'm not sure.
A powerful person comes in, very qualified, pulls up the whole thing, and you know, he performing devotional service, you know, other devotees have kind of, they have to cooperate, because, you know, he's setting up a whole scheme, and then all of a sudden goes wrong, he falls down, and everybody is completely bewildered and shocked, and they don't know how do we deal with that, how can we, you know.
Yes, I'm just reflecting, I don't think I can say so much, but what I will say is that if someone, therefore we should become, all of us should become qualified and not just depend on one person. This is what Srila Prabhupada created, he created a society of devotees so that it is not depending on one person. He wanted qualified people. But even if such unfortunate events happen, we can continue serving properly.
Yeah, I was also thinking if the faith is not strong, then one becomes weak to all these things, like if someone falls down and so on. But if one's faith is strong, then they don't consider all these things, then they're just performing their own devotional service, and they know it's just someone's. Yes.
I think an additional comment to this could be that's why Supermata has been, after some years, has been established to be the eminent Shiksha Guru in this society. So if we simultaneously develop our relationship, deeper and stronger and stronger with Srila Prabhupada and his teachings, then if something even heavy happens.
chanting the holy name and devotional service. There is no difference. It's holy name is devotional service because you're engaged. You're engaging your mouth, your ear in hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna. So that is devotional service. It's mainly depending on how sincere we are to actually understand the absolute truth and that we're the servant of Krishna. That's all it takes, sincerity. Okay. Okay, end the class. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.